I did not appreciate you guys sending me pictures last week of Michael Penix under center. Not one bit. Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is good to be back, Mike.
I missed you so much. I missed you.
A little bit of a tan working for me. Yes, it happens for black folks.
Yes.
Mike walked in and he said that. And I was like, that is how it is when one of us is away from the show. Because like a marriage, you miss your partner. You miss the things that they do and the normal stuff that happens on a show. And Mike walked in today and goes, I missed you. And I was like, bro, what happened? What's going on in here?
No, I mean, like, Abe's got strong opinions. We all know. And that's why he's the sixth man on the station. But there's just some days I'm like, will you just play ball? Will you just play ball? You know, it's like, you know, Abe, driving to work today, the sky was blue. No, it wasn't. Ah! So anyway, yes. Yeah, so it's so good to have my man back. And we always do the meme of Apollo and Rocky on the beach, you know, from Rocky 3. So thanks for coming home, man.
Yeah, look, we will cover a few things that went down last week while I was out. Not a lot, because there's so much more new news to get to. I have come to one observation, Mike, while I was on vacay about our Atlanta Hawks, which I'll share with you. An incredible story of getting more than you deserve on vacation. And now I'm feeling guilty about it.
Mm.
I'll tell you about that as well. 404-726-0929. It is Dukes and Bell. First question for me, because when I left, you were in hot pursuit of going after Elon Musk and the owners of Twitter and X trying to recover your account. Is there any new information there?
Yes, I'm screwed. There is no there's no remedy unless I'm going to start posting some of the 60,000 posts that I made before some jackleg stole it. Randy Mack got hacked.
What?
Randy McMichael got hacked too.
Randy got it?
Yeah, and again, I was joking around. Don't answer any DMs on your ex account. Brian, the message I got was from Brian Geltzeiler, our buddy from XM Radio, saying he was up for there's a poll about best NBA insiders and please vote for me. And I did.
Okay.
And that's it. So then when Oren sent the link, they just wait for, it's like a Trojan horse, and it just waits for the time you need to use your credentials, and boom. Twitter won't even acknowledge my email ever existed that I use. So I'm done. It's out. And like Randy, I'm just philosophical now. I'll just start from scratch.
Yeah.
So Mike Bell, ATL.
I didn't know about Randy.
I heard him talking about it.
Okay.
And apparently a good friend of ours, Scott Kaplan, does radio out in California. He got hacked. So apparently they target guys with lots of followers and go to work.
Interesting.
Yeah. Our buddy Paul, of all the nicest people, Paul Crane got hacked.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, Paul is the sweetest person in sports.
He's never going to say anything offensive.
Like ever.
Not to anybody. Yeah. All right. So I wanted to get that squared away because I was like, Mike's going to get his account back
when
I come back.
Yeah, it's all gone.
All right, that's done. Real quick, you got to fill me in because I was getting those pictures on vacation. I was like, I'm about to mute y'all. The pictures of Michael Penix taking snaps under center. I know he's not full go. We know this. But the reaction seen, Mike, at least from what I was getting, was people were excited about the fact that it looks like whatever mechanically he needed to work on, he's getting that work in. What's the deal? What's the latest on this?
Yeah, man. Well, two things. They showed video first. We talked about there was a video of Penix throwing. And we're like, well, what was he? OTAs? He can't be at OTAs. Or the minicamp, rookie minicamp.
That's right. That's right.
And then it turned out, we later found out, that he was actually throwing as part of his rehab, just working it out. Then we see him in super slow-mo, backing up from under center, simulating a handoff, throwing the football, right? Talking about Penix Jr.
Okay.
So and we're like, okay, he looks okay. Because all we had to go by before that was the wedding video of him dancing right?
Yeah.
So that happened. And so, okay, Penix looks okay. Maybe, fingers crossed, he'll be ready for when big camp starts. Then the Tua video drops, and it literally looks like the Concorde passing a biplane. am I lying? And Tua he's like, boom, boom, boom. And he's scrambling off. He's rolling out. Shoo. And he hits it. And I'm like, oh, wow. That's what a really mobile quarterback looks like here. It really did look like night and day. So we said, okay, two things can be true. Tua looks great. Penix looks better. Maybe they'll both be ready for camp.
Let's hope so. Look, this is all good news for Falcon fans. And they resume OTAs, mandatory minicamp, should I say, tomorrow. Matter of fact, a bunch of coaches are going to speak. We'll hear from Kevin Stefanski and many guys on the staff. That's great news. And look, we just want this to be as fair as possible when we talk about this competition as it possibly can. We just don't think on this show that it can be a fair competition if a guy misses 2 weeks of camp and is not able to take the necessary snaps, and then you're trying to judge whether or not he's going to be ready. I just want it to be one of those situations where at the end of camp, Mike, regardless of who ends up starting,
right,
we have a viable backup when it comes time and whatever that's going to look like, and we know, hey, we're going into the season, and this is the guy that's going to start the season. That's what I want to know. I don't want to have all these ifs, ands, and buts, and, oh, well, if this happens. And again, you know, Coach Stefanski, he's not going to give us a definitive date. Right. They're just not going to do that.
And again, we've gone round and round. Do the Falcons, not that they have an agenda, but are they hoping that Penix Jr. can make it because it just makes things easier for the long term? If Tua balls out, then you're going to have the same question the Dolphins have. Do I go and give him a $30 to $50 million? What's a Sam Darnold contract look like? I don't know. But I got to tell you, after watching the minicamp stuff, again, small sample size, guys, and it continues, you kind of get the feeling if Penix can't get up to speed, then Tua will win this job and, barring a collapse, not give it up.
They don't have to rush him either, right? That's the other part. If Tua is showing as much as it seems like he maybe is, you don't have to rush things with Michael Penix. I know many of you are saying, we got to figure it out. We got to find out. Look, I think they want to find out just as bad as we do. But you also don't rush a guy back after his third ACL.
The other thing is, and one of the things Abe brought up, and I give him credit because it was a good theory, we called it the Abe Gordon thesis,
right,
is that they're the way the national game's set up, you could conceivably get Penix in after the Thursday night game. In other words, you'd have 10 days. Yes, you'd have like a 10-day window if you wanted to. Because as we said, you can't really have a competition once the season starts. So if Penix takes him like a full extra couple of weeks, that would be your window. But if Tua is balling out and we're winning games, why would they switch?
No, there will be no reason to do that. The other news today, guys, has to do with the James Pierce Jr. As we're just talking Falcons, we have a lot of baseball to get to as the Braves remain the best team in baseball. We will also talk about the spring meetings going on down there in Destin, where Greg Sankey is holding court and talking about, you know, putting his foot down, Mike, when it comes to this expansion situation. We will get to our guy, Connor Riley, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Also, we'll talk to our buddy Tony Gwynn Jr. about all the things regarding the Braves and much more here in about 10 minutes. But the latest on James Pierce Jr., and I think this, again, is great news. And for everybody, it was like, he'll never play.
Mm-hmm.
Slow down. Because this is why we always say, let's let things play out. And the way this is looking right now, reports are that James Pierce Jr. was approved for a fast track to getting his case dismissed. And they're saying it's going to be a one-year program instead of 6 months. But the bottom line, this is the kicker right here. His ex-girlfriend, Rekia Jackson, also voluntarily dropped her attempt at a permanent restraining order against him. So
correct,
this helps his situation.
Correct.
So Pierce Jr. must still stay away from her for 12 months until the case is closed. But this is starting to feel like, Mike, he's on course to have this dismissed, and actually, I feel like now, more than I ever have these last 3 months, he's going to be in uniform.
And now it's just a matter of how does the NFL take this information, new information. Now, again, maybe the Falcons already knew about this, and the NFL is already privy to it. Either way, first, we're hearing about it, but now how does the NFL react? Does it start with an 8-game suspension that he can appeal down to 4? When will that even begin? You know, right now he's not with the Falcons, so it's just something we got to wait and see, but waiting on the NFL. That's next.
The original sentence or the program that he was in was 6 months. The state asked for a year. And so with these new provisions, bottom line is, guys, this looks promising for James Pierce Jr. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but the more information comes out on this, it looks like, and at least for me, it feels like he's going to be in uniform. 404-726-0929. Want to hear from you guys. Mike, give him your new Twitter handle.
Hey, man, you can search Mike Bell ATL and find it. Thanks to a listener. There's a listener who went out there and found it for me. And then it's Mike Bell ATL at ATL Bell 929. So you can search Mike Bell ATL and find me now. So we do appreciate that. Or ATL, or if you want to go the old school, ATL Bell 929. But Mike Bell, from 41,000 now to 1,600. And
yeah,
working our way back to you, babe, until the next time we get hacked.
No joke. I mean, look, it's crazy that all our – it feels like all the people that are close to us, we know that are involved. But even some of our friends that are around the country having the same issues. Hey, man, we got a lot to chop up today. I told you I came to an epiphany when I was on vacation about the Hawks. The Knicks feel like they're on a mission. And here's what's crazy. Remember how bad we felt about Game 6?
Yes.
They're kicking everybody's ass that way.
We are the only team to beat the Knicks at home, the only team to beat them in the playoffs. They went through Philly, and obviously the Cavs like pooped through a goose. And now, for the first time since 99, funny memes. We'll get into it in Guy Talk. All the things that didn't exist the last time the Knicks were in the NBA Finals. But, yeah, I mean, we look back, and look, I called him Mr. Potato Head, but I'll tell you what, man. You got a chance to make some serious history as Knicks coach, and a great job Coach Brown's been doing. It really is something special. And the way, and we'll get into the Cavs. I know you got strong opinions on Harden. The gutless, weak stuff that started with their head coach after their second loss in the series just went and played all the way through.
Well,
He's no longer Mr. Potato Head. They're in the NBA Finals.
A lot of folks, though, Mike, you know, they looked at this situation and they say, East is weak. That if OKC or the Spurs were in the East, they'd be doing the same thing as the Knicks. I'm not going to tell you that. This has been total dominance by the Knicks. To sweep a team in the 76ers, yes, Embiid wasn't completely healthy, but that wasn't going to be a series anyway, even if he was.
Right.
And then you get to this series and you go, well, they're not going to sweep the Cavs. And even if it was Detroit, guys, I hate to tell you, I think they would have did the same thing to Detroit.
Detroit was not ready for prime time.
No.
Durant needs to look in the mirror. But, yeah, they got some issues on that squad. But I'm with you. And, you know, Kenny Atkinson, we talked about this. Going to analytics after losing and blowing a lead, it's like nobody wants to hear that stuff. And then, you know, to hear James Harden continue, you know, it's one thing. If you were a seven-game series buzzer beater, you could then look at the media and say, I think we're the better team. That's fair. Not when you get swept.
No, and they're getting beat by 30 and 40 points. I mean, last night, you take your starters out of an NBA conference finals with 8 minutes to play. That's what happened last night. You're up 30, and you're taking your starters out of a game in a conference finals. Woo. That's just pure dominance, man. What's up, Bo?
Jalen Brunson has not played a single minute in the fourth quarter of the closeout games for the Knicks' playoffs.
That's how dominant they've been.
Not played a single fourth quarter minute in those closeout games.
Ananobi has been so money. And look, I don't want to, you know, sit there and not look. I respect OKC, but when they come out and come out flat, like how about when you see the other San Antonio 17-0 start? It was unbelievable.
It was.
But I still think, you know, Wemby and company, and the half court shot we'll talk about, that was magic. They're back in action tonight. But I still think when you play the level of defense that New York does, that will work, and you could probably steal a home game, you know, at Thunder's or Spurs home court.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what team advances. They get back at it tonight, Spurs and OKC. But congratulations to the Knicks. And Mike and I said this after they beat our Hawks. They said, go win it all. Like, we hear that commonly after teams get beat. It's like, go win it all, because we want to say, hey, we at least lost to the team that was able to get there and complete the task. But look, Knicks are up against history, man. We'll get into this and much more along the way. 404-726-0929. Follow me. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. Follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. When we come back, our man Tony Gwynn Jr. joins us. Odyssey MLB Insider. Insider calls presented by Granger. We'll ask him about the Braves. Yeah, we've lost two games.
Can't win them all, Carl. Win them all.
It's okay. It's okay. It's Dukes and Bell. There's a big story looming down at the SEC spring meetings, because one of the questions Kirby Smart answered today had to do with, can the SEC just go about it by themselves? And Kirby is going to quote him on this, okay? And we're going to get into this later with our buddy Connor Riley from Dog Nation. But he says, I've said this for a long time to our president. I've been a huge advocate that if we can't find rules that everybody plays by, then we should just play on our own. You've got the most powerful head coach in college football basically saying, look,
right,
if we don't have formality across the board, we can get out. And look, I don't know if the SEC might could stand by itself. We do feel this way in the South. Like, hey, look, it's always been a big deal. The fan bases aren't going away. We fill our stadiums. But, man, I mean, you talk about putting your foot down. Like, yeah, we're not afraid of that.
Yeah, that was one of the things that happened when you were on vacay last week. Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, comes out with this. We rolling. It's almost like New Jack City. Yeah, we taking over the Carter. Like, what? We're rolling right to 24. 16, no. And it was like, wait a minute. And the SEC's Greg Sankey said, didn't you just mention like 16 games a year ago? So it really has been a power play between the Big Ten and the SEC. And a lot of folks feel that ultimately, even if right now they're at odds, it's going to be that super conference where just basically the big, you know, the Big 12, the ACC, and those two just form their big thing, and that's it. And they govern themselves.
It's going to be interesting. More on this coming up, more on what Greg Sankey had to say. But right now, we got to talk some baseball with our man Tony Gwynn Jr., Odyssey MLB Insider, joining us on the Sweet James Accident Attorneys Hotline. And Tony, man, it's funny because the Braves have been doing so well. I mean, it's been incredible to start this season. And they dropped two or three to the Nationals, and, you know, second time they've lost a series all year. And you're like, people are freaking out. I'm like, we've lost two games. Relax. This team is in a perfect position. But here's my question for you. Did you expect them to be this far out this early?
No. I thought they would be good, but I thought, you know, the Phillies, I didn't think the Phillies would start 9-19. You know, I didn't foresee that happen. I thought the Mets would certainly be in a better spot than they are. And so I think the Braves are really the only one that held their end of the bargain up when it gets down to it. I know they had a rough year last year, but this kind of tracks with who they've been you know, the previous years before last. And so I'm not surprised to see them where they're at, outside of the fact that I thought the Phillies and the Mets would be better.
Yeah, and I know the whole division, with the exception of the Mets, all went 6-4 the last 10 games. So everybody's kind of finding their equilibrium. But the Braves, do you follow like the splits when you look at a hitter? Because Ozzie Albies has been pretty good. He's been a little cool off. He's cooled off a little bit. We got some guys like Yastrzemski that's basically a platoon guy. I mean, do you feel that's still, you know, the analytics? I don't want to overdo it, but analytics with baseball, it just makes sense. You got to play the numbers.
Yes and no. I think that you got the numbers are there to be able to kind of give you some guidance, but you got to watch the game. You got to watch what a guy is doing right then and there, because that may be the little bit you need to sway the decision one way or another. Playing it solely by the numbers can get you in trouble in the same way. And so I think that the teams that do it best look at the numbers, they look at the analytics, they use it as a guide, and then they apply it to what it is they're seeing in front of them. And I think that is when it's utilized at its best.
Tony, is Shohei going to be the MVP and the Cy Young Award winner?
I think so. I mean, we are kind of at that point where we were in the 90s with Michael Jordan, right? It was like, you could definitely give him the MVP every single year. But it's really a matter of if voters are going to get tired of it. Because by the book, there's nobody more valuable, certainly, a guy who can pitch and get hit. And the thing is, he can be mediocre at one and terrific in one, and that's still going to be MVP worthy. And so at this point, the way he's throwing the baseball, yes, he very well could take home he can be the double champ this year in Cy Young and an MVP, and it'd be tough to argue against it.
One thing about the Phillies, and again, we kind of feel like they're the boogeyman. They've been the gatekeeper in this division. You know, we can go kick butt like 23, and then they just take care of business. You think that they will get up to where they're locked in for a playoff? I mean, you think that's too much talent on that team? They always spend, too. They'd be willing to spend at the deadline.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, the Padres, they're getting a dose of it right now. They lost that game to them last night, and, you know, the pitching was terrific for the Phillies. And that's always the question mark. I don't worry about their offense. They got, obviously, Bryce is back to being Bryce. You know, you got Schwarber doing his thing per usual. They got some young talent infused in there and Justin Crawford. And so, yeah, I think they're going to be fine. They've gotten better the moment Zach Wheeler came off the IL. Mm. He seems to be the one that kind of gets that rotation in line, and they're starting to play some better baseball.
We're talking with Tony Gwynn Jr. Guys, Insider Calls brought to you by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers the professional-grade products you need delivered when you need them. Call Grainger today or just click Grainger.com or stop by. Tony Gwynn Jr., man, who's the biggest disappointment? Mets? Tigers? Giants? Who's the biggest disappointment so far?
I think it's got to be the Mets, right? I mean, they certainly – and listen, there were some questions there because of the fits, you know, with the team in terms of who they brought in and, you know, where they naturally play in a lot of ways. But it's hard to look at that roster, see how much money they spent, and not think that they're a disappointment. They're 10 games under 500 right now. I think – a close second could be Baltimore. I think a close third can be Boston, given all the chaos that has kind of taken place there. But I think the Mets are right now way out in front. And it would be one of the better comebacks if they find a way to get going.
It's our Odyssey Baseball Insider, Tony Gwynn Jr. with us here on Dukes and Bell. We thought, you know, with the Braves, they might try to steal more bases, getting Acuna back. And, you know, once he gets healthy, obviously we always get nervous every time we see him take off. But 22 stolen bases leads the league right now. Nunez with Washington. I thought when they switched these bases to pizza box size, everybody was going to do it. Is that also a byproduct of analytics and is too much risk?
No, I don't think so. I think teams are more willing to take bases now than they've ever been. You're seeing a lot more guys who normally wouldn't be stolen base guys start to get their totals up. But, The one thing I can tell you from experience is stem basis takes a toll on the body over the course of the season. You know, that banging, whether you're going feet first, head first, it starts to take a toll. And you notice as guys get older, you start to see them doing that less. I think that's part of the equation, right? It beats you up over the course of a season. And so early on, you're going to see more as we get to back into the season. You start to see less as a team. And I think that certainly plays a part in how guys are going to go about it in making a decision. If they're feeling great, they're more, and they're guys who typically try to get bases, they're gonna take their shots. But I think for a lot of guys, especially the veterans in this league, and I know Ronald doesn't seem like he's a veteran, but he certainly is. He's got a lot of time at the big league level. Those guys got to pick their spots because they got to make sure their body is right, especially at the back end of the season.
Braves remain in first place, guys. Still the most wins in baseball at 36-18. They start a new series with the Red Sox tonight. More on that coming up a little bit later. Tony, I want to ask you about what's going on with the Padres. We know you're around that team a lot. Tatis, Machado, all these guys seem like they're struggling. What's going on?
They are. I mean, I think Tatis, in the last couple of days, has started to swing the bat well. I think he's had three hits each of the last two games, but still no homers. And, you know, that's the thing everybody's talking about. When will he hit his first, and why hasn't he hit one yet? And so it's been the conversation here in San Diego, at least for the last month and a half. And so he's struggling in terms of that, but it does look like he's starting to come out of it. Manny has gotten off to a slow start. There's no doubt. I think he's hitting 170 right now coming into tonight's game. But you know, he's one of those dudes that I typically don't worry about. You look at the back of his baseball card. And he's also notoriously a slow starter. And so I don't know that he's gotten off to a start this slow, but typically you can book it at the end of the season. He's going to be around 280, around 30 homers, around 100 RBIs. And so you just have to kind of put your stake in that and see where it goes. But there's no doubt, despite the Padres' success, they've been doing it without really not only those two, but Jackson Merrill also struggling.
Mm. Is the whole thing with the lawsuit really messing with Tatis's head? I read that article. I wasn't familiar with it, Tony. I read it over the weekend. For guys who know the story, he took an advance when he was coming up in the minors. And in the contract, it said, once you make it to the show, they get 10% of his earnings every year. It's almost like criminal. But the judge said, sorry, son, you signed a contract. Obviously, it's a cautionary tale to young players. But, Tony, that would definitely be preoccupying my noggin if I was Tatis Jr.
Yeah, it's new news to the rest of the world, but this has been going on for a few years. And based on the experts, it was not a real good chance that it was going to go a different way. So I think this has kind of already been baked in the cake. It just so happens it comes on the final decision comes in a year in which he's struggling in terms of hitting the homer. But I think that's the farthest thing from Tatis' mind. Okay. I think he's more concerned about getting his stroke right so that he can start to stack these homers together.
Yeah, they need to get going, man. There's no doubt. They are all in, right? Because all those guys we're talking about, Merrill, these are all contract decisions they'll have to make a move on in the offseason. Is that right?
No. I mean, they don't have to make any moves on any of those three. Those guys are locked in long term. I mean, Tatis starting, the money starts to come in. This is the first year of it. Manny signed a 10-year extension, I believe, 2 years ago, and Jackson just signed a 9-year or 7-year, somewhere between 7 and 10.
So the core, of that group, which is what we always talk about with the Braves, they're all making money now, and none of these guys are hitting.
They're locked in, and they're in a little bit of a rut right now,
right,
for sure.
All right. Wanted to make sure, man. Tony Gwynn Jr., it's always a pleasure, man. It's been fun here in the ATL, and look, we hope it continues for us. Make sure you check him out, guys. He's brought to you by Granger for the ones who get it done. Tony joins us on a weekly basis to talk baseball on a national level. Tony Gwynn Jr., thank you, brother.
You guys take care.
All right. And guys, what we're saying is, you know, we talk about our core group all the time, right? It is the guys that have been here. Substitute Olsen in for what Freddie was, right? But he's been here now a few years. That's our guy. Riley is a core guy. Acuna, right? Money Harris, Rookie of the Year. You start talking about Ozzie. You need, when you've invested, and we did it early, you need those guys to hit and show up. And that's the crazy thing. It's the auxiliary parts, Mike, for us that are showing up.
Yeah, and for those who didn't not familiar with that story, it's first I've heard of it when I read about it. So basically, imagine, remember how like we felt the same way, not that the Braves are being predatory, but the idea that Ronald signed that $100 million deal. I'm like, oh, maybe you should hold out. But again, bird in the hand, right?
Yeah, you always take that money because you don't know what's going to happen. And think about it. If Ronald didn't with the injuries.
Right.
Hey, man, coming up, he was recognized. But we got a long way to go. It's Dukes and Bell. So on the beach, relaxing, Mike, and at night, obviously, you know, the games were on at the sports bar, the resort we were at. And I didn't really get a chance. I just kind of walked by. And every time I did, you know, the people that were in there were, oh, Knicks, go Knicks! And I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, you know, Knicks are playing so well. And last night, guys, they advanced to the NBA Finals. First time since 1999. Mike and I started the show talking about, look, I feel like we sparked them. Like, I think I'm not saying they went into this taking it for granted. But it was almost like we know what we can do. And they were kind of feeling themselves. And then we slapped them. And all of a sudden, they woke up, and they've just been smoking everybody. But the thing is, you know, yesterday we find out that Jalen Johnson, our own Jalen Johnson, congratulations, JJ, earning all NBA third team. Dyson Daniels named to the all-defensive team, second team. And I said, that's great. It's great that our guys are being recognized. But the reality is we got a long way to go. With Wimby, Mike, you see it.
Yes.
Right? It's obvious he's different.
Yeah, it's magical. The half-court shot the other night, I mean, just that's the kind of stuff when you're like, that's the Michael Jordan effect. When you say, there's something I haven't seen. Right?
Wow.
Exactly.
Right? You're going, even if you're not a fan, and you don't have to be, the Spurs just, he's doing this stuff. We have no one on our team that resembles the superstars that have been left in these playoffs. And I know Cleveland just got swept, but we don't have a Spider Mitchell, okay? We certainly don't have an SGA, and we definitely don't have a Wimby.
There's only one. Nobody has a Wimby.
And I'm like, we got a ways to go. I'm glad our guys are getting recognized. And I mean, and many of you might say, well, Dukes, calm down, man. Is this first or third or fifth year, whatever you want to make an excuse for.
No.
You either have impact or you don't. And to me, that is the thing that I am going into this offseason wondering about Jalen Johnson. Yes, a very good player. But I just saw another good player last night in James Harden do James Harden things. He's been a good player for a long time. He's never been great. He's never been a difference maker. And so, Mike, I'm like, on vacay, I'm like, damn, as good as I felt about the season and the 46 wins, we got a long way to go.
And that's why, you know, maybe, just maybe, you know, we don't do all the things I think some fans are expecting. And by the way, when you see Hawks linked to Jalen Brown, okay, no, a knucklehead made something up and linked us to Jalen Brown. Yes, would I love to see Jalen Brown? Of course we'd love to see Jalen Brown here. I just don't think Ansi Salehe is prepared to give up what he'd have to give up to do that. And then you're in the luxury tax and all these different aprons where wrestlers so far, Carl, has shown, well, a hesitancy. How about that? To do. So, or a reluctance at best. I'm just saying maybe we just going to build it through the draft and we'll find the right things. Maybe some big pieces as far as free agency, a big man. Also, we don't have a Hartenstein or a Chet Holmgren.
No, we don't.
Those are things we don't need. We don't have.
Are you willing to say to us right now, Jalen Johnson is going to be a superstar in this league? I'm talking to you. Are you willing to say that right now? You willing to say it about Wimby?
Yeah.
SGA just picked up his second MVP. Guys, there's something to – and by the way, you know, I talk about Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell around this league, everybody was like, oh, Harden will be a great trade. It was a terrible trade. That's not on Donovan Mitchell. They didn't give him anything to work with.
Right.
But I just feel like watching our Hawks and seeing the stuff – by the way, you know who should be really ticked off, Mike? The Dallas Maverick fans. Because they had a chance to keep Brunson when Luka was there, and they didn't give him a four-year, $55 million deal. Well, it's too rich. We're not going to pay that. No. And then you ultimately trade Luka, and think about what Dallas could have been.
Right, and even if Luka, you know, if Luka gets gone, and but if Brunson is there for Anthony Davis, granted, Davis got to stay healthy, then you've really got a potent package, but they don't have that either.
No.
So they're just, you know, they're off in the weeds, you know, waiting for Cooper Flagg to continue to mature. Ant-Man, you knew within the second year he was a star.
Yes.
SGA, you knew. Jalen is taking his sweet time, and unfortunately, Jalen, is he a timid guy? Does he have the killer instinct? he looked like a guy that was easily pushed around by the Knicks. Now, Dyson Daniels and Jock Landale, he couldn't get on the floor. He was hurt, but Dyson was the only guy that stood up to the Knicks, if we're honest.
He was the only one. Let me hear Victor Wembanyama talk about that half-court shot. He's been hitting threes. Guys, are you watching this dude?
It's just unbelievable. That was, I know, we're at the game. I got all my buddies. My best friend played college basketball. You know, Tommy's big guy, 6'8". We're all like, holy crap! You know, everybody going nuts. It's bananas.
It is crazy. Here's Wimby.
I was just thinking shit to score. I wasn't messing around.
I'm not messing around. I was focused because it's a game situation. I mean, which is great. Guy says all the right things.
He does.
You know, I'm really excited about the prospect of the Knicks versus either one of these guys. It just feels like this is going seven.
It does. It really does. Here's Wimby talking about the game adjustments. They looked bad in game three, right? I think it was game three. They come back in game four after, or should I say game four, they come back after OKC won back-to-back games. Here's what he said.
It's different. I would say the coaches hold a lot of this load of the chess match, you know, coaching staff, all the strategy, it's a lot. They do a lot of film. They work really hard.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. Spurs, OKC continue their series. Meanwhile, let's talk about James Harden for a second. It's Dukes and Bell as we'll get to Georgia Tech earning a number two overall seed in the NCAA baseball tournament. Georgia as well. Congratulations to both of those teams. But before we get to that, here's Harden, Mike, talking about making shots. He said he didn't remember a quarter in their sweep as the Knicks swept him out about this team making shots.
You know, it was just an unfortunate situation. Coming off a tough two series against two defensive monsters. It's been challenging. And I don't necessarily, like, maybe the first three quarters we played well. I don't even know if the first half in the first game won. I think maybe that third quarter we played well, we actually made shots. And then other than that, I don't necessarily can't remember a quarter where we actually made shots, like, as a group, which is, like, yeah, you're not going to win.
You know, when you blow a historic lead, a 22-point lead with less than 7 minutes to go at the Garden, you don't come back. You know, we've talked about, you know, there's things, and you can. That's why it's so funny. You got his coach going, well, analytically, I mean, that's like when I get on launch angle. You know, great. Oh, he had a launch angle or tremendous exit velo. He hit it right to the outfielder. I don't give a crap. It's got to go over the fence.
It's an out.
You know, but in this case, you know, the coach sets the tone. Kenny Atkinson makes these feeble-minded excuses, and I do think it translates to the rest of the squad.
I do too. Here's the comment Mike's talking about. He said this going into game four that they had won two of the three because of analytics.
No, we don't.
Terrible.
Yeah, outcome-based. It's the freaking playoffs, you nitwit.
Dumb, Mike. I am shocked. Kenny Atkinson is one of the most respected coaches.
Right.
To say that you are dismissing how you're getting your butt kicked and you're basically giving your guys an out, to Mike's point. I was shocked when that came out. And then, obviously, they get swept. Here's one more thing from Harden. And then I got to say what I need to say to get it off my chest. Here's James Harden talking about, we are the better team.
I don't think we had a chance as far as our best shot, you know, from a standpoint of the circumstances. You know, obviously they dominated us 4-0, but I don't know if I can necessarily answer that question. Just because genuinely I do feel like we are the better team, but you know, series wise, you know, it didn't show it. So tough question to answer.
Dude, you never show up. You never show up, James Harden. There's never been anyone else in this league, Mike, that has had the ability or the opportunity to play with another star more than James Harden. Not even LeBron James. James Harden has gone everywhere he's wanted and played with additional stars, the guys he's handpicked. And he does this every single time. And to say that is insulting, as if, well, you know, I still feel like we're the better team. You had games to prove it, and you didn't do a damn thing. Mike, this dude shot 29% from three-point line. Isn't that what he does?
Yeah, I saw somebody put out on X today, like, describe James Harden in one word. I wrote, unclutch. You know, I mean, he'll go to the Springfield. He's in the Hall of Fame. But he's going to be a guy, unless at the end of his career he's coming off the bench, he's never going to get the ring.
Mike, you don't win with old guys. He's old now.
And it's the mindset, as we said. I mean, guys, the coach threw it out there. He's drawn. Yeah, if you take a series to seven games and you get beat by a buzzer beater and every game was in 5 points, okay, you could make the argument, we were the better team, it didn't work out. But I'm sorry, it's like when the A's got swept by the Reds. Tony La Russa, no, you're not the better team because the Reds were clutch. Clutch, clutch, clutch. There is no analytic. There's a bit of an analytic for baseball. But for the bottom line, Carl, that is such a loser mentality. And to me, to you, you've been on this for years, it defines James Harden.
It defines him. And look, for everybody that told me 10 years ago, because I've been on this for 15, okay, that I was wrong and you just wait and Harden's going to prove. He hasn't proven jack, and he's gotten time after time with star power on his teams. He went to Cleveland to play with Donovan Mitchell and then didn't do a damn thing in these playoffs. It's just, it is so crazy to me that James Harden, and Mike, let's use the phrase, stealing money, because that's what he's doing.
No, and you said he's picked his rosters. He's bounced all over the NBA, if it's a Monopoly board, trying to find the best thing, trying to get guys to play with him. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm going to play with James Harden. Good luck with that.
That's right.
You know? So, it's, and when you blow a 22-point lead in game one, that sets the tone. Then the coach says all the wrong things. I just felt sometimes you need, a guy says, what's the coach supposed to do? I said this on Thursday. Own it.
That's right.
I blew it. I didn't hear any of that. There was a lack of energy. Then he said, I like to save my timeouts. I go, for what, Christmas? You know, I mean, this starts, you said it. Kenny is a great, well-respected coach, but this is where the moment was too big for him.
Yeah, and it showed in his comments. 404-726-0929. I don't want to hear about the step-back jumpers. I don't want to hear about the dribble between the legs, stuff with Harden. He doesn't win big moments, and he never has. He never has.
Facts.
Meanwhile, congratulations to Georgia Tech. They earn a number 2 overall seed for the NCAA baseball tournament. They host right here in the ATL. Georgia baseball is going to host in Athens, the regional. They are the number 3 seed in this tournament. Remember they played at Truist?
Yeah, kind of one-sided, that one.
And it was a blowout, and everybody's like, whoa, both of these teams legitimately have a shot, to win the College World Series. Will they? I don't know, Mike. Because this is when it gets crazy and you start playing these three-game series. But, man, Georgia Tech is really good, but so are the Dogs.
It is the Citadel down in South Carolina, UIC, Oklahoma. That's going to be here in Atlanta, down in Athens, or up in Athens, BC, Liberty, and LIU, Long Island University. So you would argue it sets up well for both squads.
Yeah.
And hopefully the trajectory leads. Wouldn't that be something? They're both in Omaha.
It would be cool. It really would be. But this is, and by the way, these regionals, sold out. Just so you know. I mean, people are like, oh, I'm going to get tickets. You waited too late. I think it was sold out 30 seconds into the tickets going on sale. But if you have not had a chance, it'll be on, obviously, you know, to see. But both teams, man, they are very good. We'll get into this with Connor because Georgia's baseball, you know, Mike, as good as dominant as they've been, they won the ACC, should I say. Georgia Tech won the ACC and the regular season.
Right, Georgia wins the SEC first time. Think about all the great players both programs have put in the show, but this is something special. And I also, you know, credit Georgia years ago for having to realize they had to make a change of the head coach.
They did.
For baseball.
They absolutely did. Meanwhile, the other big news, guys, and we'll get into this as well, spring meetings going on down there in Florida. Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, speaking. Kirby spoke today. So we're going to have plenty more of that coming up here on the show. And the SEC is considering reprimanding Lane Kiffin over his racial comments regarding Ole Miss. Should they?
Well, you know, like, I mean, it is a fact. I think, you know, people, you know, maybe Ole Miss fans don't want to hear it, blah, 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 blah. I just didn't like the timing. You know, it was kind of like he's just continuing to burn bridges and just he had to go there. He didn't have to. I mean, we all know the history of it. But, you know, as you brought up the time we discussed it, it's like, you know, Tuberville said the same thing. You kind of, well, I know I'm just going to Auburn, but, you know, and it's almost like you're trying to rationalize why you've screwed somebody over. Coaches move all the time. I get it. Just the timing was so strange. I don't think you suspend a guy for that, though.
I don't either. And I don't think they should reprimand him. I actually think he has the right to say what he said. And the SEC, I think, Mike, is more worried about the overall image of the conference right. when you start proclaiming those kinds of things. Let's be honest. If you're from Texas, Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, Florida, you probably know this already. I don't think it's a surprise that Elaine said it. But Mike's right. The timing of it was, how does this benefit me at LSU?
Right.
Right?
All right. By the way, I had to look it up. UIC is University of Chicago in Illinois. I looked up UIC. Guy hit me up on the text line. Who the hell is UIC? Chicago, okay? That's the Chicago way. So they're playing up in Tech.
All right. Look, I think Tech's going to score a lot of runs. I think Georgia is as well. That's been the key this year. They've got amazing hitters, man. We'll get into this coming up a little bit later on. When we come back, though, we got to talk about beef or no beef. Speak about controversy. Mm-mm. Whoa. And who shut it down? It's Dukes and Bell.